Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. So much sports yesterday, Tony. How are we going to fit it all in the show?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I'm not sure, but we will give it the old ESPN2 effort, won't we?
There you go. You're discounting the deuce. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, well, I don't know, because we're on it 18 days in a row. I don't know. I'm not discounting.
Don't you have the deuce in your
house? My new home.
You got the
deuce
in your attic?
Welcome to ESPN2. Great. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Cam Newton wins, the Cowboys complain, and Wilbon pretends he has always loved Mitchell Trubisky.
Yep.
But we begin today with Tom Brady's first game as a Buccaneer. He lost to the Saints 34-23 in New Orleans. Brady scored a touchdown on a quarterback sneak, and he threw for two more, going 23 for 36 for 239 yards. But he had two interceptions, including a pick six. Wilbon, do you think that this was a one-off mediocre game for the 43-year-old Brady or something more?
Well, Tony, it's somewhere in between. It's not just a one-off because he's had two mediocre games recently. It shocks people to know that Tom Brady has thrown a pick six in each of his last three games. I mean, that's a trend you don't associate with the Golden Boy. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I expect this out of Tom Brady every week or even next week. It was a first game. He's getting used to new receivers, new running back, new line, a new coach who has a completely different personality and thrust from his old coach, who never said anything publicly, might have said the same things or even more tougher privately. But wow, I mean, this is a whole different thing for Tom Brady. I don't expect to see this next week. I don't. What about you?
Yeah, look, I root for Tom Brady, and I want him to do great. And we've got the Brady-Belichick bet, and I'm 0-1 at the moment with that bet. But even I did not expect him to beat New Orleans in New Orleans. They are a playoff team. They're a Super Bowl contender. They go every single year. They got Drew Brees. They got Michael Thomas. They got Kamara. You know, well, what do the Bucs have? First of all, Brady had never taken one snap with any of these people.
That's right.
And what do the Bucs have? They got no pedigree. They got nothing. The last time they were in the playoffs was 2007. So this was a game that, you know, I thought that the Buccaneers would lose.
We both thought that. I know in my pool yesterday, in my confidence pool, I had, you know, New Orleans, and I didn't have them by a tiny amount. It was a 7 or 8 point pick to me. But Tony, it was just weird with Jameis Winston, Mr. Turnover, who has been blamed for everything that didn't happen in Tampa last year, on the New Orleans sideline, and Tom Brady throwing a pick six. The pick six, I think I was talking to you at the time, and it brings about a gasp that you see, you know, the Golden Boy, you know, he's not going to run after him to the goal line. But again, Tony, it's week one. I don't want to be,
overreaction
Monday, the very first week.
You don't want to overreact. But you mentioned Bruce Arians, and I want to get to this point because he's Brady's coach now. Brady said, I just made some bad, terrible turnovers. He took the blame, which is all we ever ask. And Arians said both the interceptions were Brady's fault. He sided with Michael Evans on the first one. He said he ran the route the right way. The second one he called, quote, bad decision. He said of Brady's checkoffs at the line, quote, some were good, some weren't. Let me ask you a question. How many Super Bowls has this guy won? He's killing Tom Brady.
You know
what?
He did kill. What does that mean? I mean, it's not like Brady can say, I'm going to leave and go back to New England because we're going to get to that. They got their, you know, maybe they got a new, younger golden child.
Mike, 24 hours later, he said Brady needs to show more grit. Brady needs to show more grit?
He sounded like somebody on social media instead of the head coach of a football team. Brady got to look around and go,
wow to me.
I must have a new coach.
It's a wow.
Brady's old team won behind its new quarterback. Cam Newton rushed 15 times for 75 yards and two touchdowns to lead the Patriots past the Dolphins. Bill Belichick said that everything the Patriots have done offensively the last 20 years has been for Tom Brady, and he'll take advantage of Newton's particular strengths now. Tony, what conclusions are you willing to draw about the Patriots and Cam Newton after their game one?
Yeah, as Liam Neeson once said, I have a very particular skill set. What I am willing to draw as a conclusion is this: that Cam Newton has never played for a coach as good as Bill Belichick, and he has never played for an offensive coordinator as flexible as Josh McDaniels. They looked around and they said, this guy's not Tom Brady. We don't have to do what we did with Tom Brady. We'll run him 15 times, the most on the team. will tailor something directly to what he does. And I don't know that he has ever had that before. Now, Mike, I don't think you want to run him 15 times every game.
No, we'll get to that.
Because as big and strong as he is, he has a tendency to get hurt. But he looked good, he ran good, he passed good.
And he was excited afterward. And you could hear what I thought was a genuine level of excitement and optimism out of Cam Newton, Tony. Because, of course, he feels fresh, relatively speaking, although there are already questions about a hammy. Tony, here's a lot we know. One, this offense is going to evolve. Because anybody working for Bill Belichick, you better get better week to week, and you better be flexible. You mentioned flexibility. You better be able to do new and different things that Bill didn't show you the previous week. However, the Patriots have nothing really invested in Cam Newton, and they can run him 130 times. What would they care? They don't have to worry about the bonus he might not fulfill by not being on the field next year, because how long is his contract for with the Patriots?
One year.
Completely cynical comparison compared to the way you use a rental car. And you know what you do to a rental car as opposed to the car you're buying. So
look, I get that.
This is a fair observation. I wouldn't even call it a criticism.
All right, I get that. And I think that Cam Newton looks at this season as an audition tape for next year, and Bill Belichick looks at his season as an audition tape for next year if the Patriots want him back. And I understand that. In terms of overreaction, let's wait a little bit because New England, if I'm not mistaken, New England goes to Seattle next Sunday night. So we're going to learn more about them.
Yes,
we are. You don't want to base anything on 1 week. You don't want to do
that.
And I still got Brady. We'll see.
I'm 1-0. I'm up on you. I'm up
you
one
are,
in the standings.
I'm one game behind at the moment.
Okay.
I am. We move now to the Cowboys and Rams. The Rams won 20-17, but the game appeared to hinge on an offensive pass interference call with 21 seconds left by Dallas receiver Michael Gallup on the Rams, Jalen Ramsey, the richest defensive back in the world. Wilbon, like the rest of us, you've seen this play 50 times now. Was that call legitimate?
I saw it live, and I must admit, Tony, I was waiting for the flag to be thrown. That doesn't mean I thought it should be thrown. I just thought it would be thrown, and it was. Gallup and Jalen Ramsey were hand fighting. If Gallup wasn't extended his arm on his own, the first act you see is Ramsey having Gallup's arm right here in the elbow. You don't have to make that call. Again, everybody's saying the same thing. Letter of the law says you can. I don't want to see that call there with a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who's supposed to be the greatest thing in the history of cornerbacks. I don't want to have to see that, Tony. That call made. Yeah. I know you must have felt the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the call. I don't think it's necessary. I'm okay with it. I think it's legitimate. I'm okay that Mike McCarthy, in his first game, I think to impress Jerry Jones as to what kind of gambler he is, you know, didn't want the field goal late. And threw when he needed 3 yards, threw a 2-yard pass, had his quarterback throw a 2-yard pass. But I'm okay with that. I would have kicked a field goal so that I could then, with another field goal, win the game. But I don't begrudge that.
There were 11 minutes to play, too. 11 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, so I don't begrudge it. I will say this, and I know this doesn't matter to you, but it does matter to me. I never bought the line at the beginning of the game that Dallas was a 3-point favorite at L.A.
I didn't either.
Dallas is so glitzy. They're overrated every year. People get stars in their eyes about Dallas every single year. People say, oh, how much are they going to pay Dak? How much are they going to pay Zeke?
Yeah.
How much are they going to pay Amari Cooper? What have they won? They've won nothing. This other team, Mike's pretty good team, went to the Super Bowl two years ago.
Tony, the Dallas Cowboys are the most overrated, overstated franchise in American sports, North American sports. And you know what? Part of it is the fault of everybody on this network, because every week they act as if the Dallas Cowboys are the New England Patriots or the Edmonton Oilers of Gretzky or the Jordan Bulls, and they're not. People, stop with the Cowboys. They're a good team. They scored 17 points. I mean, if you got that offense and you have a quarterback who's making $31 million, you might ask for more than 17 points. You might.
Every single year, the expectations are enormous for the Dallas Cowboys, and they don't ever really live up to them. And if you're going to say all of this fault is with Jason Garrett, oh, stop.
No, stop.
Oh, please.
But wait a minute. I didn't get a chance to take a shot at Carson Wentz. Can I get that? Is that coming up?
It's the next segment.
Okay, I can't wait. Slow down. As Bart
cool
Scott
out.
Once said.
Let's take a break. Coming up, Russell Wilson put up an incredible stat line. But was he the best quarterback of the day? No, Carson Wentz was.
Better than the guy in Philly. And should we give the glory to the Bears for their comeback win? Oh, my God. Or rip Matt Patricia and the Lions like everybody on social media is doing. Carson Wentz, next.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to find out what's on your little minds in mail time. Let me see what is
mail time.
Why are you saying their minds are little? How do you know? Maybe their brains are very large.
Maybe. Who had the best quarterback performance? Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Gardner Minshew?
All right, I'm going to run through these very quickly. Wilson, 31 for 35, 322 yards, 4 touchdowns. Rodgers, 32 for 44, 364, 4 touchdowns. What they really need in Green Bay clearly is a quarterback, right? Lamar Jackson, 20 for 25, 275, 3 TDs, 45 yards rushing. And Gardner Minshew, 19 of 20. That's Phil Simms land, 173 and 3 touchdowns. Who you got?
Are you asking me who
I've got? Yeah, who you got?
It wasn't the question who you got. Okay, first of all, I would add Josh Allen to that. Because he ran and he passed for a total of 3 touchdowns. But as I told you yesterday, there is one answer here, and the answer is Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers last night should have gone into Matt LaFleur's office and said the following words: I hate your guts. Trade me by 5 o'clock tomorrow, and then go play your boy Jordan Love. Because that they have not helped him at all, and look what he did.
Yeah.
Anybody still think he's in a faded zone of his career? Come on.
You didn't mention Trubisky. 8 for 10 in the fourth quarter for 3 touchdowns and a win.
We're getting to Trubisky.
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, I think. Rodgers was great. Lamar, they were all great. Gardner Minshew, he's got to do it more than 3 or 4 times for us to even consider him. We're old people. I'm going with Wilson, Rodgers in that order.
Fine. Which quarterback was more disappointing, your boy Carson Wentz or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Let me just have that Carson Wentz for a second. And it's not even Carson Wentz, because it's not his fault. But a few weeks ago, I watched everybody who's paid to talk about football on this here network just kill a guy because he didn't have Carson Wentz in the top 100 players. Yesterday, Carson Wentz, with those stupid interceptions, looked like he was a bottom 100 player. Really, they wanted this guy fired and his passport revoked because he suggested that Carson Wentz wasn't a top 100 player. Carson Wentz is so overrated, he should be a Cowboy. That's how overrated he is, and people just slurp him all the time. Guys, I know a lot about football, a lot. Stop, please.
So I was stunned that Washington won that game, coming back from 17 down to win 27-17.
He threw 2 picks, he gave away 14.
It was Carson Wentz. Let me get to Garoppolo for a second, because he missed some passes, but what he did not have was interceptions. Wentz had 2 interceptions, and his top 2 receivers were out, and Kittle got hurt at one point. But by the way, the star of that game, Mike, DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre had 14 catches for 151 yards. never having taken a snap with the quarterback before. Never once.
You know who you owe apologies to? The Suns and the Cardinals. Then you've always got them being 3 years away from being 3 years away. Huh? Huh? Start apologizing.
No, actually, 2 years away from being 2 years away. Oh, here's the one for you. I'm laying out on this one. Did the Bears win it or did the Lions lose it?
The Lions lost it. This poor kid, Tony, DeAndre Swift, he has the ball in his arms looking back at the quarterback. He's directly facing. This is a great pass by Trubisky, by the way, and this wound up being the game-winning score. But the Lions, what are they doing? First of all, what is Matt Stafford doing throwing a ball up that gets picked? There's the drop by Swift. The Lions, like the Lions do, Tony, whether it is Wayne Fonts, Marty Morningweg, Rod Marinelli, or Matt Patricia, they just give games away. They give them away.
Yeah. They are historically a franchise that is stumbling around.
Yeah.
All these years stumbling around. I don't have a dog in this particular fight.
I do.
But I thought you thought Trubisky was not going to ever start. You thought Nick Foles was going to start.
I thought he was going to get hosed.
You didn't like Trubisky. They traded too much for Trubisky. It didn't work
for Trubisky.
They did.
All these things can be true. But I thought Trubisky, if his coach actually wants to coach him and not the guy he left behind, the Wonder Boy in Kansas City, then he might want to coach Trubisky. Trubisky was terrible for three quarters, worth benching, great in the fourth quarter, won the game.
I thought you guys said the Nuggets-Clippers series was over. I know I did. I said the Nuggets were packing to get out of the bubble. What happened?
Yeah, Tony, this is one hell of a series. I mean, they seem to be in the Clippers' heads now, and the question is, can they live there for one more game, a game 7 tomorrow night, to go to the Western Conference Final? We didn't expect from the Clippers. I mean, when you were the Clippers and you have Kawhi Leonard and you have Paul George, who were not great. They were barely good yesterday. And you've got Jokic shooting these shots off 1 foot with these. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like an Ephus pitch, he's throwing off 1 foot and it's all net a cup several times. I Denver's in this. I don't know what to expect from the game tomorrow night. I have no idea who's going to win game 7.
I'm going to pick the Clippers because I think that they are the better team. But as much as I like Doc Rivers and as much as you love Doc Rivers.
I do. It's my guy.
He has the only coach in NBA history to twice lose a series where he was up 3-1.
Yeah.
And this could be 3. You often say that Denver's a very young team and you can't expect much of them. But they've been together longer than the Clippers. The Clippers, this is all on Kawhi and your boy Playoff P. Because they were brought here win games like this,
they
right?
They were. So you're still, look, I think the Clippers can win. But Tony, at this point, those mistakes that I keep waiting for Denver to make that kill them, they make them, and the mistakes still don't kill them. Turn into a great
series. And they won 3-1 over. They were down 3-1 in Utah, and they won it.
Yeah.
We've heard enough from you. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Joe Burrow gives himself a D for his debut performance. Is he too hard on himself? He was terrific late.
Yeah, a D is good, though. I like that out of him. We got to talk about the Cubs no-hitter. You hear me, Tony?
Which you didn't watch. You didn't see it.
Oh, that was yesterday? Oh, I thought we were talking about Zambrano in 2005.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 31st birthday, Jimmy Butler, the best and most important player on the Miami Heat.
Jimmy Buckets.
He led their sweep of Indiana and their rout of the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks. Butler nearly destroyed the Minnesota Timberwolves. when he played there, but in truth, he has been a transformational presence on Miami. He's an old school player who doesn't try to find the three-point line, so his 22 points a game in the playoffs so far are hard earned. On a personal note, he is fabulous singing You Make Me Feel Brand New in a Michelob commercial. Makes you want to buy the beer and the song.
He's old school because he plays it both ways. Because he plays defense, he plays offense, he doesn't make excuses. He's not one of these young punk kids who doesn't want to do the work. You know who my favorite player in the NBA is. It's Jimmy Butler, Tony. I don't even mind that he left the Bulls. He's been great, and Minnesota should have done something to keep him, and so should Philly. They screwed up, and it's Miami's good fortune. Cheers to Jimmy.
Happy anniversary, Denny McClain. On this day, 52 years ago, the Tigers righty became the first pitcher to win 30 games in a season since Dizzy Dean did it 32 years before and the last to do it since. Yes, McClain flew too close to the sun and was difficult to deal with and ended up in jail for embezzlement, among other things. But in 1968, at 24 years old, McClain was 31-6 with a 1.96 ERA and 28 complete games. He won MVP and Cy Young, followed up the next season with 24 wins and another Cy. Only Steve Carlton and Bob Welsh have as many as 27 wins in a season since.
Tony, nobody has back-to-back seasons like he had. 55 wins in 2 years, 51 complete games, Tony. Not Guidry, not Clemens, not Maddox, not Randy Johnson. 55 wins. Nobody gets within 10 of that anymore. Within 10 wins of that. Amazing.
Happy trails to the Cincinnati Bengals in Joe Burrow's first game. The Bengals lost yesterday because they are the Bungles. They lost to the Chargers in agonizing fashion as their kicker, Randy Bullock, pulled a calf muscle and went shankopotamus from 31 yards out with his team down 3 and 7 seconds to go. But how they got in position to lose like that might give Cincinnati fans hope. They got there because the number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, was terrific. In his last drive of the game, Burrow was poised and professional and 8 for 11 for 70 yards with no timeouts, not including a touchdown pass to A.J. Green that was negated for offensive PI. Kickers come and go. Burrow looks like a keeper.
He does, Tony, but let me just say, the Bengals and the Lions, to see those two teams lose that way yesterday, it is so Bengal-like or so Lion-like, I can't figure out which one is more representative of those kinds of losses. You just feel sorry for him, and then you also say, just get away.
Two errors. Carlos Zambrano's no-hitter was in 2008, not 2005.
That was Milwaukee.
And I quoted Liam Neeson as saying, I have a very particular skill set. When what he actually said was, he has a very,
very particular,
particular set
of skills.
Skills.
Get it right.
All right.
It's a great line.
All right.
All right. Come on.
Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Mike D'Antoni leaving the Rockets. Are you surprised?
No. The owner didn't really want to extend him before the season started. If he wanted to keep him, he could have kept him. No, it's okay for D'Antoni to wind up somewhere else. It really is. He did great work there. Albert Pujols tied Willie Mays on the all-time homer list at 660. Big deal?
Oh, yeah. You tie Willie Mays. Come on. Yes, big deal. Cubs pitcher Alec Mills no-hit the Brewers. Tell all the people how much you enjoyed watching this game.
I enjoyed it online later when I went through and found some clip that had all the outs. Live, not one pitch did I see watching too much NFL in the Nuggets. Naomi Osaka, Dominique Thiem are the U.S. Open winners. Your thoughts?
Both their matches were great. Both went the distance. Thiem came back from 0-2. Those were great. Last one, Steelers, Giants, and Titans, Broncos on Monday Night Football. Who you got?
I love that Big Ben is back on the field, Tony, and I got the Titans and Steelers in the Monday Night Football tonight.
Out of time, trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Back on the mothership tomorrow, you knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Congratulations to Doug Herson, Columbia Country Club champion, baby. Not you.
Not me.
Doug Herson.
PTI.